BBC News with Neil Nunes. President Trump has announced that one of the U.S. National Guard soldiers who was shot on Wednesday in Washington has died. Sarah Beckstrom was 20. Mr. Trump said the other soldier, Andrew Wolf, was in a serious condition, as was the suspected gunman, Ramanullah Kanwal. He's an Afghan national who had worked with the CIA in Afghanistan. Mr. Trump made the announcement from his Mar-a-Lago residence in Florida.
Sarah Beckstrom of West Virginia, one of the guardsmen that we're talking about, highly respected, young, magnificent person, started service in June of 2023, outstanding in every way. She's just passed away. She's looking down at us right now. She was savagely attacked. She's dead.
The U.S. says it's going to re-examine the permanent residency status of every person from Afghanistan and 18 other countries in the wake of the shooting. These are thought to include Cuba, Haiti, Somalia, and Venezuela. Video has emerged that shows Israeli security forces shooting dead two Palestinians after they had surrendered in Jenin in the occupied West Bank. The footage shows the men emerging from a building with their hands in the air, surrounded by border police. At a certain point, they move back into the building. They are then shot dead at close range. Our global affairs reporter Sebastian Usher has more details.
The Palestinian Authority has described it as a summary execution, as a war crime. The Israeli military and the police have said that it's under review, but have stressed in a statement that, according to them, these were two wanted men, that it followed a long, hours-long showdown trying to get the men to surrender. And the question really is, though, after they've surrendered, and this is raised in the Israeli media as well, what was the issue that meant that these border police opened fire and killed these two men?
Guinea-Bissau's deposed president has arrived in neighbouring Senegal following negotiations with the West African regional bloc ECOWAS. Umaru Sissoco Embalo and other officials were removed from office in a military coup on Wednesday. We get more details in this report from Simon Hancock.
Senegal's foreign ministry said on Thursday evening that a military plane had landed in the country with Mr. Embalo on board. Officials described his arrival as safe and sound. The ministry said he was able to leave Guinea-Bissau following intervention by ECOWAS. The bloc had called for his release, along with other officials. The coup in Guinea-Bissau came a day before the results of general elections were due to be announced, which Mr. Embalo had been widely tipped to win. Earlier on Thursday, the army chief was sworn in what the military portrays as a transitional administration.
This is the world news from the BBC. Russia's President Putin has said there is no point signing a peace deal with the current Ukrainian leadership, which he described as illegitimate. Mr. Putin said a revised draft peace plan backed by the United States could become the basis for a future agreement to end the war, but he reiterated his core demands, which include Ukraine handing over some territory that Russia has not yet captured. It's now known that more than 90 people have died in Hong Kong's worst fire in decades. The massive blaze engulfed seven blocks at a high-rise public housing complex on Wednesday afternoon. Many people are still unaccounted for. The cause of the fire is under investigation, but is thought to have spread rapidly through flammable construction materials surrounding the building. Peru's former left-wing president Pedro Castillo has been sentenced to 11 years in jail after being convicted of trying to disband Congress and rule by decree nearly 3 years ago. The former schoolteacher, who had never held elected office before winning the presidency, was impeached by Congress on the same day as the power grab. Campaigners are trying to raise more than $15 million to save the farm where Scotland's most famous poet Robert Burns wrote Auld Lang Syne and many others of his best-known works. Graham Satchell has this report.
Burns took inspiration from the rugged landscape and the nearby river. The banks of the Nith, he said, are as sweet poetic ground as any I ever saw. Campaigners want to fully restore the farm's buildings and plan to use the site to house the extensive Burns collection, which includes original drafts of his poems and letters, a restored flute, and even some of his shopping lists. There are plans to create spaces where modern-day artists and musicians can come to work. Worth it, campaigners say, so Burns' work can never be forgot.
BBC World News.